Oh, the dead don't die any more than you or I. They're just ghosts inside dreams of a life that we don't know. They walk around us all the time, never paying any mind.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Thank you guys for joining us once again. It's another Tuesday, another day in paradise. My name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100, reluctantly. Down to the end of the table, the celebrated Asa Gray. He's a five-star man.
Hi.
And let's start off tonight with a hot topic. Let's just jump right into it and talk about Spirit Halloween.
Yes.
I got to visit their store.
Where is ours? Where is ours this year?
Same place. I think it's been the same place the past few years. It's right next to Hobby Hibbets.
Okay.
It's where Town Plaza. Buffalo Wild Wings used to be. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen a lot of people post that Spirit Halloween has moved into a bunch of shells of where Toys R Us used to be. I didn't know if that was like
not
a
here.
Trend.
Not
okay,
here.
But it's in the old spot.
It's that meme where it's like Shaq. Or no, it's not Shaq. That's a different meme. I get too many Shaq memes in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a guy, and he's like looking and waiting, kind of licking his lips, and it says whenever Spirit Halloween sees a store closing, because they just love to move in to new places. We visited Spirit Halloween over the weekend, Allie and I, and then Lindsay and I on Monday, and it's always fun. First off, I highly recommend anyone to go visit it. I like that store. I like Halloween stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I like to do most, and by the way, I picked up a new mask.
Is it the one that you showed in
no,
the... Okay.
I got a different one.
Okay.
So, and I'm going to say it, because I don't think anyone listening cares. Mm-hmm. You know, I got Vega's mask from Street Fighter.
That was the one that you...
No, I sent... The picture I sent was of... it was from Bleach. I said I got the Vega mask.
Oh, okay.
But I said it was Ichigo from Bleach. It was like a half... I think they're called Hollows face. And I thought it looked kind of cool, but I didn't know if it really fit. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the Vega mask, and Vega probably doesn't fit either, but I don't care. I love Vega. So when I saw Vega's mask, I'm like, I'm getting that. I'm going to have Allie paint it, though, mm-hmm. so it's not quite just Vega's mask.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that mask. It's so cool looking. I'm going to wear that at the 28th show.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I want to talk about it is, aside from getting my mask, what I like to do at Spirit Halloween is I always like to go to Halloween stores and look for offensive costumes. Because no matter how far we come as a society,
mm-hmm.
year by year, or go back in the recent years, regress, they always have some terrible costumes. And this year, I didn't really find anything out of the ordinary. Of course, there's Mexican Man, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you think it is. Sombrero, big mm-hmm. big mustache. And then there was like four different variations of female cop. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
There was one that's fully dressed. And then there was one that was called like Officer Cutie, where she just had like a mini skirt. They get mm-hmm. progressively smaller clothing.
Right.
I just thought it was weird they had four versions of it. But the one that got me, this is a real costume you can pick up at Spirit Halloween. I'm not making it up. It's the skeleton. I think it's called like Skele-Bone, but it's called like Skele-Boner, because it's the standard skeleton costume, mm-hmm. black bodysuit with the white outline or the white bones,
mm-hmm.
and it has a penis bone that drapes down between your legs. One, I don't know if they realize this. The penis is not a bone.
That is not anatomically correct.
It's a muscle. If that wasn't bad enough, it comes with a pump so you can make the penis erect.
Oh, my God.
So there's this long skele-dick hanging off this stupid costume. And not only that.
Skele-dick was the bad guy in the He-Man porn parody, right?
Yes. Still starring Dolph Lundgren somehow. I didn't understand that. There was a group of gentlemen in there, you
mm-hmm.
know, purveyors of the Halloween arts, if you will. And I found, I forget what it was. It was some outfit or a sign or something. And I pointed it out to Allie and said what it was. And I did it in a very condescending ha-ha tone
because
mm-hmm. it was something sexual.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it's something about, it was.
Slutty cafeteria lady.
No, this one was like a mechanic. And it was, I forget what the name was, but it was like In-N-Out lubrication expert or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed it to Allie and I gave her the deadpan look and was like, ha-ha, and I put it down. So she and I walked over and started looking at other stuff. And then all of a sudden these guys walk over and I just hear them fucking losing. Oh, sorry. No, it's fine. I'm going to cuss later anyway. They're losing their shit over it.
Mm-hmm.
They're laughing like
it's the
funniest thing they've ever seen. And I told her, I was like, I want to leave. I want to leave now.
I want to go home.
This makes me very, very sad. So get your Halloween kicked off right with Spirit.
I always like to go and look at like the elaborate decorations or like see how people decorate. I had to drive to the Jackson office, and on my way there last week, there was a life-size Pennywise statue next to someone's front door. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why would you want that? And for, like, the Skarsgård Pennywise, so, you know, the super scary
one. The creepy one.
It looked like he was holding, like, it was supposed to be holding a balloon, but the balloon wasn't there. Mm. And it was just like, why would you, who wants to leave in the morning?
And see that?
Like, walk out your front door and just be like, now granted, it might be prime real estate for someone to then replace that statue on the day that the trick-or-treaters come and stand there dressed as Pennywise.
And all the people that drove by and saw it were like, oh, look at the statue.
Yeah, exactly. We did something similar because they haven't done it the last couple years, which is a bummer. But my parents used to go all out on Halloween decorations. They had these spray-painted styrofoam tombstones they put in the yard. They did black lights. They did fog machine. Like, they went all out. They would stuff old clothes with newspaper and then attach a mask to that so it looked like, you know, there were things in the yard.
Right.
One of them was they had
which, by the way, love it. Love all that.
Yeah, no. And then one of the years we had this. We did one of those, but it was a mask and gloves on the front porch on a bench that they propped up. And then on Halloween, we took it in. I put on the mask and gloves and sat on the front porch and scared trick-or-treaters. It's still one of my favorite stories of there was a little girl going with trick-or-treating with her mom, and they're coming down the hill, and the mom, like, very clearly is super into our house. Like, she's like, oh, look at all of this. Look at this. And the little girl was just like, I don't want to go to that
she's
one.
She's freaking out.
She was terrified. So, and I felt bad. So I made it very clear that I was there, like moving so she could see. He's like, he's scary. Let's not go to this one. Let's go to the next house. And so the mom brought her up. I took off my mask because I didn't want it. I was like, no, it's okay.
That makes me sad. You didn't dedicate yourself to the role and and traumatize the girl for the rest of her life.
She's legitimately like 8.
Like, I said what meant.
It was a very small child.
I told you the story.
I did. There were some, like, you know, older kids that were cool, like too cool for costumes and stuff that came up and were like, oh, look at this. I don't remember the... I'm going to just like terrible like sexual names, but those weren't the... Ben Deadlong was one of the names on the tombstones.
Right.
It was jokes like that. It's like, oh, Ben Deadlong, who's so lame? I was just like, oh, I'm going to get this little shit. Oh, I am going to eat his lunch. And I did.
Yes.
And it was just the best.
It's pleasurable, isn't it?
Yeah. Just the high-pitched girl scream.
That's whenever we had PT and we were doing it. Mm-hmm. And Dante, that used to come in here, always talked about how he wouldn't be scared of it until he played it.
Games aren't scary.
And then he literally fell out of the chair. He got so scared.
Mm-hmm.
Nate nearly urinated on himself as he ran backwards into a wall.
Right. Almost went through the wall.
Scaring people is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Scaring people is a lot of fun.
I saw the open call for the open auditions for working at the arena building, the Haunted Hall of Horrors.
See, I don't like stuff like that, though. Because once you know, like, I mean, it's not scary anyway, obviously, because we're adults.
Mm-hmm.
But once you know that they can't touch you,
mm-hmm.
it really takes the fear. Like, I don't understand how people, I see the videos of, like, people screaming.
Mm-hmm.
They're so terrified when someone comes out with a chainsaw or whatever, and it's like, well, they can't touch you. Mm-hmm. I guess the fear is that maybe one of these guys ain't right.
Right.
And he will grab you.
Oh, what was that horror movie that came out, like, a couple years ago?
House of October Built.
No, that because that was like the documentary one, wasn't it?
It was filmed that style, but it wasn't an actual documentary.
Not that movie. This is a straight up just like traditional slasher horror movie. But it was there was a serial killer like in a haunted house.
Oh, yeah.
And like
no
one believed.
And he's actually killing them. It was called like Fright Fest. I know which one you're talking about.
I think it was Hell Night.
Well, there were Hell Night, maybe. There were two movies that were very similar. One was done by the guys at Rooster Teeth, and the other one was, I think, the one you're talking about.
Okay, no, Hell Night was from 1981.
I think there's multiple Hell Nights.
Yeah, that's possible. But, right. I didn't see it, but it looked fun. Like, that's one of those movies that I will go to Wikipedia eventually.
And just see what happens.
And, like, and read the plot synopsis.
I went to, I've only been to two of those haunted hallway type things before. One was with my ex-girlfriend, Jennifer, who, she was a very lovely girl. Very attractive girl. And she was dressed as a flapper.
Mm-hmm.
So she had like a really short dress on and all mm-hmm. this stuff. And we're walking through it. I'll never forget this. We're walking through it. And this guy that I knew had a crush on her was working this event. So there's a part where you have to like kind of climb down and crawl through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear, and I'll never forget because he had this dumb hick country accent. But as we walk by and she kind of crawls through, I heard him go, "Damn, Jennifer, don't show it all to me." And you know, you don't want to punch him,
right?
But I wanted to punch him, but he was a loser, whatever. The other time, and I think I've told this on the show before, but I went to one with my brother and the family, and I don't really know my family. This is when we were all still communicating. We're going through it, and all of a sudden, this vampire girl pops out of a coffin, mm-hmm. and she's also very lovely. This is a common theme with these places, or with me. I'm surrounded by beautiful people because I myself can't be, and. As she kind of walks toward us, like with the threatening whatever, my brother pushes me into her. And she was probably like in her early 20s. And I was in my early 20s. We were kind of the same age looking. He pushes me into her and says, take the virgin. And one, I'm like, how did he know? And two, the fangs fall out of her mouth. She starts laughing so hard. So now everyone in the little room is laughing at the virgin boy. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go home.
I want to leave now.
I did not get her number.
Laughter and Halloween don't go well with you.
Only if you're scared so badly that you laugh.
So I'm
that's one of my favorite reactions.
I'm a super jumpy person, like in general, like just sudden, like jump scares are cheat codes.
Yeah,
like that doesn't. Yeah, good job. You've made me.
Yeah,
like, but that's also a defense mechanism. The flinchy ones are the ones that will survive. Fight me. You won't be able to because I'm so flinchy.
Because
you won't be able to get me.
Monkey style.
So, like, I very much jump in at haunted houses. But again, it's just the, oh, now there's a sudden loud noise.
Right.
Like, that's just
not really scary.
Yeah, that's just the reaction.
That's why I hate jump scare movies.
But so,
that's why I won't go watch, what's that one guy? James Wan. I won't go watch his films in theater. It's just jump scares. He's the one that does, like, The Conjuring.
He's got
that whole universe where it's mm-hmm. just nonstop jump scares.
Annabelle. And,
yeah.
Okay.
And that's not scary.
Yeah.
It's just a sound. Go ahead.
So I would like to go just because I like to see, like, the props and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, the costumes. Like, I enjoy that aspect of it. But there was one we went to. It was the one over in Black Forest mm-hmm. that runs. We went to that. It was, like, my mom, one of her friends, her son, me, and then I think it was just that group. Or maybe this was when it was just me, mom, and my friend Ryan. I think that's what it was. Because so then we ended up getting lumped together with this group in front of us. Because, like, okay, we can take five. It's like, okay, well, there's three of us, and there's these two girls that were roughly our age. This was in high school. And so we were going through, and I realized how much more fun it is going through those when you're not the most scared one.
Yeah.
Because, like, the things that would normally make me jump and everyone would laugh at me, it was these girls.
Right.
Were losing their minds. And it was great.
Yeah.
One of them screwed it up for her friend, though. Very, very badly. So, like, fourth room. So, we're, like, 10 minutes into this, like, 45-minute walk. Sarah, stop! Like, and, like, grabbed her friend to keep her from walking. And guess who has, apparently, a telecommunications network? Going all the way through is this Black Forest place. So everything that we went through, Sarah.
Aw.
They knew her name.
Oh, that's great.
And so then they were using it. Why do you know my name? Stop it. Ah, why do you know? See you at school, Sarah. What? Like, just, and it was amazing.
That's
like, that
great.
Was probably one of my favorite haunted house experiences because I wasn't the one getting laughed at.
It's that Bill Dobrief thing. It's like, people have always been making fun of me, and now I get it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you stop and go, but this isn't just an elaborate prank on me, right? What about the haunted house places that can touch you?
No.
No.
F you.
Yeah, absolutely refuse.
F you.
The extreme Halloween ones where, like, they torture you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you actually have to sign waivers.
There was one in, who was it? It was last year. I think a bunch of, like, wrestlers, maybe, went to one in Japan that you had to sign a waiver. You had to submit. You had to give them your phone before you could go in. You could not take any pictures. You could not. You can't even tell people what they do. Like, it's that just.
That secret.
You can't know because they want you to be taken off guard.
Right.
Like that. No, thank you. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
My mom went to one of those and got kicked out. Not one of those super extreme ones.
Okay.
She was walking through an area in one of these houses that, like, she was, like, going across a bridge. I think I've told the story before, maybe. But, like, so she was going across this bridge, and it was, like, you know, one of the playground bridges that's really shaky and jumpy, things like that. And it was, there was a bunch of people underneath reaching up and grabbing your ankles. And just out of reflex, someone grabbed her ankle, and she kicks them in the chest. And so she's just like, someone grabs me, and I just kick him off, and I hear, hey, you got to get out.
Well, don't grab me then.
Right, yeah.
What'd you expect to happen?
If you can touch me, I'm not locked in here with you.
You're like, yeah. I almost got kicked out of Six Flags once.
I've never been to the was it the Fright Fest or
no,
whatever?
No, I was just on a ride. I think it was the first time I ever went to Six Flags. It was for my birthday, and it was me and Stephanie, who used to be on the show, Lindsay, Teddy Ross, and Matt Sin. And Bob may have been there, I think. I don't think Jesse was there. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. But we get on, I don't know what it's called, maybe the Joker. It's like a ship that swings back and forth.
Yeah, I think it was that was the Joker for the longest time.
We get on it, and I don't do well on rides. I'm not a fan of heights. I'm bad. Mm-hmm. I'm bad. I can ride the mine train, and I can sometimes ride the Ferris wheel. That's it. But I get on this because I just want to try something new. And as we're going, and it's starting to get to the point where it's almost going upside down, I start yelling things out. And not because I was trying to be funny. I was terrified. And I didn't even cuss. I didn't cuss. But I was saying things like, you masochist, you sadist. You know, I was yelling things out. And the guy there was like, dude, you got to stop saying these things or I'm going to kick you out. And I was just like, I'm terrified. You leave me alone.
Yeah, I thought it was going to, you went to like one of the Fright Fests or whatever. Because they do the Halloween Festival.
I would love to do that.
And I always want to go to one of those. But same. Again, it's that they're just going to jump out at me.
Right.
And they're going to yell. And it's going to be loud. And I don't care about that.
I would rather go to a legitimate haunted place. Like that's, we did that once. I mean, we didn't do that once. There was the one Halloween for, I think it was a Terrifying Tanner, where we went to the cemetery.
Yeah.
And it was whatever. I'm not a big fan of cemeteries. Because it reminds me of mortality, and I'm not a fan of that.
And also, why would there be ghosts there?
Why would there be ghosts there? That's just a shell on the ground. That's right. A husk. But I like doing stuff like that. I like going to places that could actually have real ghosts or monsters. So that's something I would like to do again.
We went to The Darkness up in St. Louis.
The band?
No, the... Okay. Like, it's one of the biggest...
I'm just making sure.
No. It's one of the biggest like haunted houses in the country. And I was very disappointed. Like,
you think it's because you're old enough now that it just doesn't have the same appeal?
Maybe, but like, I don't know, the way it was so built up, and it's, you know, it's the most terrifying experience in America, like things like that. And it was just like, no, this was just a haunted house, except their budget was 100 times more than what we have in Cape.
It was better than the girl with just the fake.
Yeah.
The fake blood.
Like,
on her
and
face.
Like some of the costumes were really, really cool. And some of the set design was really cool, but. It just like I was like, for the amount that we had to wait and like the price of admission, like I'm glad we did it, but overall I was like, I probably wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Also the last like entire third was dedicated to like a neon circus type thing.
Like
So it was all, you know, clowns and bright colors and
I don't get
trying to be disorienting and
I don't get the fear of clowns. And I guess you have to actually have a fear of clowns to be afraid of clowns, but I've never understood why they were scary.
It's why I think I will make a wrestling reference on every appearance that I ever make.
Yes.
You can rest assured. I think it's why Bray Wyatt right now works so well and why the Firefly Funhouse is so unsettling is because there is something innately... It's extra creepy when it seems like something is meant for kids.
Yeah.
And to turn that sinister...
I think
is like super unsettling of just the idea of like, oh no, because that's very much not right.
I think maybe the reason that it doesn't affect me as much is because I didn't have much of a childhood. So clowns...
You were doing your taxes whenever it's like, yeah, play with the bounce house.
I never associated clowns with children. I always associated clowns with scary movies. And I blame, you know, Stephen King for that mostly.
The audience is free to make fun of me. You are free to make fun of me.
Will do.
Have you seen the preview for the movie about Wrinkles the Clown?
Yes.
Okay. Is that real?
You know what? I was going to ask you the same thing after you told the story because I thought it was just a movie. But everything I've read says it's like a real documentary. And now I'm interested because when I saw the trailer, I was just like, oh, creepy clown movie, whatever. But then I found out, no, that's real. And now I'm like, now I want to know.
See, but the trailer makes it look like it is more than... Like, the trailer has scenes that are clearly a horror movie.
Yeah.
Of him, like, appearing and disappearing and, like, climbing out from under children's beds and shit. And, like, I Googled it. And I found like those news results, and I don't know if that's just like, oh, their marketing for this movie is friggin' incredible, and like they've planted stories and like BuzzFeed it or whatever.
It's harder to do that now for sure with technology being what it is, but at the same time, it's not the first time something like that's happened. You remember the Blair Witch Project. My mom thought the Blair Witch Project was a real thing and that those kids really did disappeared over at Burkittsville mm-hmm. when it was just, you know, a movie. So I guess maybe it's possible that they could have faked this whole thing. I'm looking at it right now. At least I would be if the internet worked correctly. There it is. And Wikipedia just says Wrinkles the Clown is the alias of an unidentified man living in Naples, Florida, who for a fee of a few hundred dollars will attend birthday parties, scare kids, and prank people. I guess...
Yeah, like, and what?
Apparently it's a legitimate documentary about Wrinkles the Clown, I guess. I don't know. That's a weird one.
And it's, but I don't, like, I'm curious.
I don't know if I'm curious enough to watch the film. I'll probably wait for some reviews about it, because every time I go into a horror movie thinking, this is the one, because I can't remember, the last horror movie that I truly loved was probably It, Chapter 1.
I know you loved the first It.
Yeah. Chapter 2 was pretty good, but it wasn't like as good as I'd hoped.
To ask you, I have a question about that, but that's for after the show because it is a spoiler.
Gotcha. And speaking of, I will be reviewing later in this evening the movie The Dead Don't Die, mm-hmm. which if you don't remember what The Dead Don't Die is, as a lot of people don't, because no one, and you know why? Because they didn't put it in theaters around here.
Because I Googled it, and it was right when Hunter explained it, because when you were like, are you being serious? When I said, like, I don't know what that is.
Well, you said, what is it? And I immediately, my first thing, my thought is, what is it?
Oh. You know? And I was like, no, I've never heard of this. But then whenever, like, between Googling it and Hunter explaining it, I was like, oh, yeah, I do remember that being a thing. Yeah.
I wanted to watch it really bad, and mm-hmm. the day it came out, I tried to go watch it, and they did not put it in Marcus Theaters.
Yeah.
Which baffled me. Mm-hmm. The closest place was like hundreds of miles away. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to drive hundreds of miles away to see this, but I really wanted to see the film because it's a zombie movie starring Bill Murray. And I love Adam Driver. I love Chloe Savini. Mm-hmm. And I finally got to watch it on, it was my anniversary. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did for our anniversary was we watched The Dead Don't Die, which is the most romantic thing you can do.
How would you have felt if you had driven hundreds of miles to see it in theaters?
I would.
Knowing that what you know now.
I would have had hours later to question why they made the decision that they made.
Okay.
Because The Dead Don't, like, it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. And if not for two things that happened, I would put this as a really good zombie movie. But the two things that they did were so baffling to me. And I've never been this angry at a film for the content before. But I will tell you what it is later.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
Yeah, it is so baffling, and I could not believe they did it, and I was actually offended.
Oh.
Yeah. And when you hear why I was offended, you might go, oh, that's it? Mm-hmm. But I'll explain why.
Okay.
But it was shocking. Before that, speaking of shocking, something I do want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I love talking about that, like the whole horror stuff. But we're just 2 weeks away from Are You Afraid of PZ 85 After Dark, our big Halloween month mm-hmm. that we do every year, and it's always a lot of fun for the most part. But then we also don't plan the shows out in advance sometimes, so then we're scrambling to think of something Halloween-related at the last minute. Mm-hmm. This year, we'll try to be better about it.
We're going to try. If anything, we'll just play Spooky Scary Skeletons on repeat over the normal shows.
Or just
very, very low.
Or like, just as the show.
You think it's there?
Or just as the show. Or we'll just do an hour.
Just replace it.
I legitimately thought last year of putting a public domain retelling, like audio podcast broadcast, mm-hmm. of a scary story. I thought about putting that as one of the shows when we couldn't make it to do a show. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to do this, and that'll be kind of fun. People can tune in and listen to this old show, and I never did it, but I still thought it was a pretty good idea. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about is Shane Gillis. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who Shane Gillis is, and this is the part of the show where I need to warn you that some of the language you're going to hear is going to be offensive, and I do apologize. I don't say it to make light of the words being used, but I think it's important to know what this person said mm-hmm. to make you question why the decisions were made about it. So SNL is starting their 95th season, I think, pretty soon. And one of the things I was most excited about is they're going to have Eddie Murphy hosting, which is insane because Eddie Murphy is like, I assumed he was done with SNL after the infamous David Spade moment. And then he came back and...
It was like the 40th anniversary?
Yeah, he came back and he just walked out on stage and thanked everybody and left. Mm-hmm. Didn't do any skits or anything. I thought that was it. Mm-hmm. But he's actually hosting the show, and he's apparently going to go on a new stand-up tour, which is really cool. I love Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. Another big thing, though, was that they hired three new cast members. Mm-hmm. Some of the old cast left. I think Leslie Jones left.
Leslie Jones is out.
And I want to say maybe one or two other people, but I can't remember off the top of my head, and I apologize. But they hired three new people. I don't remember their names per se because this guy's just dominated.
Right.
But they're supposed to be very good comedians. In fact, they've got their first Asian mm-hmm. Comedian on there who's also gay, mm-hmm. which is very, very cool. That's very progressive. And it's nice to see people not be...
It's amazing that in a 40-year run,
this is the first
they Asian. Have not had an they haven't had an Asian comedian on.
They've had two that were part Asian. Fred mm-hmm. Armisen and Rob Schneider were mm-hmm. both part Asian.
Schneider's like part Filipino, I think.
And but that was it.
Yeah.
The new guy, his name's Yang. I forget his first name. Again, I apologize. I've been so thinking about Shane Gillis that I haven't had time to read it. And then there's a female comedian that's also supposed to be very, very funny. But the attention was all on the Asian comedian, because that's very cool. Good on you, SNL, for, you know, finally having someone represent the Asian community. In
even just Googling SNL new cast members, it's dominated by
Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
Well, here's why.
There we go. Saturday Night Live three new Chloe Fineman, Shane Gillis, and Bowen Yang.
Bowen Yang
were were the three that they announced, and then yeah.
But Shane Gillis quickly became the target of the entire conversation when it comes to SNL, because after he was hired, I think it took about 5 minutes for someone to find his old material. And by his old material, I mean as of May of this year.
Yeah, there was the big one that came out, the podcast was 2018.
Right.
So it's not like that. This wasn't like James Gunn 10-year-old jokes.
Right. This was recent.
Yeah.
And he apparently has a podcast that he does with a friend, another comedian. I'm not going to tell you the name of the podcast because I don't want to give that any attention. Because if the kind of content that you can find on that show is what I'm about to say, then I don't feel like it has much merit. And maybe I'm wrong about that creatively. But some of the stuff that he said on this podcast was, I remember one specifically I heard where he referred to Asian people as chinks. And he said, "Let the chinks have Chinatown." Mm-hmm. Which, that's great that that came out on this announcement where you had this, the first Asian cast member.
Right.
He also referred to presidential candidate Andrew Yang as a fucking Jew chink. Mm-hmm. And it goes on from there. He referred to comedians who are afraid of, I think, like PC culture, whatever, as white faggot comics. Mm-hmm. Like, he said the most awful things. And here's where reason I want to talk about this is because I have been accused in the past of saying things that are controversial or words that are controversial. And my theory on comedy is that everything is open to comedy. You can talk about whatever. Mm-hmm. But with that comes the fact that it has to be funny. Anytime I've said anything controversial that wasn't just quoting what someone else said was because I thought it was a well-placed joke. It was a well-timed thing. And maybe sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. I have never said the N-word just to say it. Mm-hmm. I've never made fun of people like that. If you go listen to what this guy's saying, it's not funny. It's not comedy.
The thing that got me was because he talks about like, oh, if you dig through my 10 years of comedy, like you'll find more misses than hits.
He pushes the boundaries.
Yeah, I'm a boundary pusher. He's like, no, you're just using racial slurs.
Right.
That's not pushing boundaries. That is racist. And I haven't listened to the full podcast. I've only heard bits and pieces. But like when they make fun of the way they pronounce things, like when they're talking about like the neuter or whatever, I don't even like
the Chinese.
The way that they were pronounced, like they makes fun of the waiter because he went to a Chinese restaurant, the chink waiter, like blah, blah, right. blah. And then making fun of the way that they speak,
right.
like their accent. And it's like, okay, where's the joke though?
Exactly.
There was right. no joke. This just sounds like two racists
right.
complaining about choosing to go to a Chinese restaurant
yeah.
and then just making fun of the Asian people there.
It was when I heard him talk about faggot comics and especially the fucking Jew chink about Andrew Yang that I thought to myself, this isn't comedy. This is just racism.
Right.
Like, I will defend it. I like lots of comedians that use racism in comedy. Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. I love Dave Chappelle. I like some Louis C.K. stuff where he's used words mm-hmm. that are inappropriate. But they tell jokes. They're jokes that just happen to contain these words, and some of them are really cringeworthy and are regrettable.
Right.
But at least they're jokes. This is just right. Like you said, it just sounds like a dude making racist comments and another guy laughing about it.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the appeal of it, first off. But what really gets me is that his apology was a non-apology.
Yeah, it was not an apology.
It was just that, like you said, I push boundaries. You don't push boundaries. Mm-hmm. You don't. That's not pushing boundaries. That's just being racist. But what really gets me is that SNL finally fired him. like 2 days later, mm-hmm. they finally came out and said, we've talked to him and we've decided he won't join the cast. We don't support this. We're sorry. Our vetting process didn't live up to our standards, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, like, it took the internet 10 seconds to find what this guy said. Mm-hmm. When you're hiring comedians, do you not, your vetting process definitely failed. That's pathetic.
So on the one hand, like, I don't really fault SNL for not finding out about it, because like they have a limited amount of resources mm-hmm. to be able to comb through. Like, with it being as recent as it was, like, and you know, if it is on a, which they have since like deleted the podcast and like they've yes. scrubbed that YouTube clean.
But the internet never forgets.
Yeah. But it's so, but then you have the entirety of the internet, including some people who I'm sure were just waiting for an opportunity. I like, there are things that we've said on this show that would probably get me fired.
Oh yeah. No.
And so it's one of those things is like, man, if I ever do, like if something ever takes off with Podzilla.
Yeah. I'll be the end of you.
Like, it wouldn't even be you. No, it'd be things that I've said.
Yeah.
Like they're like, it's
the internet never forgets. Yeah,
I'm sure there's people that have like, you know, logs away of just like, okay, as soon as you get announced as something, like
I'm a waiting boy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I'm not saying that this is not necessarily what happened. And I'd like that he wasn't a victim of a targeted attack or anything like that. But
he's a victim of his own racism.
Kind
of,
yeah. It's like, and it's the whole, the thing that I hate the most out of this, aside from just the blatant racism as that was this whole idea, and it's the same thing with like Dave Chappelle's newest special, and Louis C.K. trying to like come back after his forced vacation, mm-hmm. essentially, of just like this idea of cancel culture, because it doesn't exist. Like, yes, you could. It's just there are people who have said or done terrible things, and now they have to face the consequences. But now you have how many Netflix specials that people are getting paid hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars to do?
Yeah.
Where all they do is complain that they can't say things anymore. I can't get away with saying this anymore. Right. He says on the platform.
Yeah.
That he has been given a bunch of money to say whatever he wants. Like, it does. There's no consequences. There's right. pretend, like, oh, the internet's mean to me sometimes now, but I don't get to just throw around racist stuff. Like, it, like people aren't really canceled.
No, and like in the case of Shane Gillis, and it's funny you mentioned that because I was just reading about how Rob Schneider blames cancel culture on what's happening to Shane. He's portraying Shane Gillis as a victim. He later went on to say that there's no, that racism just for racism isn't funny, because mm-hmm. it's not.
Right.
Racism for racism isn't funny. But he blamed cancel culture on the guy losing his job. I mean, the guy should lose his job. If you're hiring comedians to be funny, right. and maybe I haven't seen enough of his material to go, that's funny, because all I've seen is this blatant racism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time when we had a gentleman on this show who apparently, I have been told, left the show because of some of the things that I said,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't comfortable with it. Now, to be fair, those things that I said was just quoting stories that had happened, but I did use the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, you know? But I feel like it would be different if on this show, if you and I were just sitting here talking about this and I was just dropping racial slurs casually.
Right. You know? I would not be doing the show. Like, that's,
no, hopefully nobody would be doing the yeah. show. Nobody would listen.
Mm-hmm.
I think this dude's a scumbag.
Yeah.
Like, I just think he's a straight up scumbag, because I do believe that you can use controversial material in comedy and be funny with it. But this isn't funny.
Right.
And the people that think it's funny, like, I don't know who those people are.
I want someone to explain to me what the punchline was.
Right.
Like, that's,
well, it's that, like, he's a Jew, or that he's right. a chink.
Right.
I guess.
I don't understand how them just complaining about this person in the restaurant I went to an Asian restaurant, and this Asian person speaks with an accent.
Oh, he also did one where he was talking about, it was about the comics or whatever, and he mentioned Middle Eastern people about how when they do the things that they do, it's to get the pussy, and he was doing it in like a really terrible Middle Eastern accent.
Yeah.
Is that still comedy?
Yeah.
Like, is that still funny? I mean, I don't get it.
And we talk about, like I said, like, we have, everyone who has done this show, like this show, has things that I'm sure if you go back far enough, it's, you're going to find stuff that's totally regrettable.
Yeah.
But we also are very open about that. Like, right. we don't try to hide it as much as just like, nope, that was an example of like, and like going back and like the way that I spoke in high school and college.
Right.
I want to go back and punch past Ace in the mouth.
Yeah, you've grown as a person.
Yeah, and it's in like, and to hide behind the I'm edgy, I push bound, like, no, that's not pushing boundaries. Like,
it's like the people that still post the 9/11 memes, like, mm-hmm. that's cool, those are so edgy.
Yeah.
I guess Shane Gillis is in his almost in his mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my mid-ish 30s.
And again,
I have grown.
And it's not like this is from 2006.
Right. This was
last year. I mean, like you said, up to earlier this year. I don't know. I'm not sad that he lost his job, but at the same time, who am I? I'm nobody.
So Ricky Gervais, who I'm not a huge fan of Ricky Gervais. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that are. He didn't mention Gillis specifically, but he said, please stop saying you can't joke about anything anymore. You can joke about whatever the fuck you like, and some people won't like it, and they will tell you they don't like it, and then it's up to you whether you give a fuck or not, and so on. It's a good system. And I guess that's a good way to put it. You can joke about whatever you want, and it's up to each individual person of how they respond to that.
Right.
But I guess I was just hoping that in the year of our Lord 2019, that comedy, like just saying racial slurs, wouldn't be funny anymore
to anybody. Yeah.
And it really wasn't funny then.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my dad had I didn't know it was a joke at the time. I didn't know what it was. I was really young, but he had a paper that was given to him by a friend, and they kind of laughed about it and passed it around, and I saw it, and it was a license to hunt porch monkeys.
Jesus.
And I didn't know what it meant at the time, but now I do, and even looking back on it, I'm like, how was that funny?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where is the comedy? Unless you're a racist person, where is the comedy in that?
Whereas then you have Clerks 2, which has the running bit of Randall not realizing that his grandma was racist. He thought it was a term of endearment. Right. So when he had it on the back of his shirt, and the officer was like, what does that say? No, it's cool. I'm taking it back. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's funny. That's a comedy. That's a joke based around something offensive.
Because there is a bit. There is a punchline. There is a point to it. Whereas can kill people.
If Randall had just been in that movie dropping the term porch monkey to describe black people.
Right.
With no payoff.
Right. Or context.
That's not a joke.
Yeah.
That's just racism. So good on SNL for firing him. Bad that it took them so long to figure it out. And I'll try to be forgiving of them a little bit because I am looking forward to the new season. Mm-hmm. But what a black eye on SNL here with this. And I know I have a gut feeling that this Shane Gillis guy is going to get more famous because of this.
Oh no, yeah, in 6 months he will have a Netflix special where he complains about losing his job to SNL and now he can't joke about anything.
Well, he did
on Netflix. He did on his own special.
He did tweet out another thing saying like a better apology, I guess. But then he ended it with, "I was always a Mad TV guy anyway."
Mm-hmm.
And one, Mad TV wasn't funny. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess you are kind of more of a Mad TV guy, but. It's just a shitty, shitty person with a shitty attitude, and I'm glad that he's not going to be on SNL. So that's. Hopefully that'll be the end of it, and we'll never hear from this.
I mean, we may
amoeba
not, but
he give her again.
But like I said, he will absolutely have a stand-up tour, and all of that, where he will complain that his platform was taken from him. He can't.
Yeah, he's edgy now. They did more for his career than if he had just been a bit player on SNL.
On a potentially not potentially, like I'm saying the season is going to be bad, but like.
Could have been.
Because every season of SNL, like everyone seems to hate, except when you go back 3 years later and talk about it. And then it was, man, that was really underrated. That was probably one of the best seasons they've ever done.
I think Hunter and I are the only ones that watch week to week and go, that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Let's share this with the group.
You also just then pick out like the
good bits.
The actual skits.
Like there's some really bad ones.
That's literally all I see of SNL is some of the skits you even share. Cause like the majority of time I'm at work and I can't.
We call those the Podzilla 1985 selections. That's where we present the good ones. Cause there was one last year, I think it was last season. Hunter can vouch for me on this if I'm right, where it was Natalie Portman and they were in space. Did you see the skit?
No.
I don't remember the exacts of it. It's just that, Beck Bennett was an alien and they were going to make love, but then he told her he had something he wanted to be genuine with her or whatever, and that he actually, his face was his ass. So he like bent over and started talking out of his ass, and she had to like kiss his butt and stuff like that. And it was stupid. It wasn't funny in any way. And the only props I give to Beck Bennett for sticking with it, because if it was me, I would have quit mid-skit and just been like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever done in my life.
This is dying a terrible death. No one's laughing. Yeah. I'm just going to leave.
My favorite parts of Conan and Letterman, both of them were really good at that. When a bit is failing, what do? You make fun of the bit.
Yeah.
And they were really good at it. Leno would just power through.
Mm-hmm.
God bless him. Hate him. All right. So that's that. And whatever, man. I already had a motherfucker of the week planned,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sticking with it. Otherwise, this guy would have been the shoe-in for it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the Dead Don't Die, is there anything you would like to bring up before I go on my rant? Anything pressing on your mind that you want to talk about?
No, I will yield the floor.
You're curious about where this is going, aren't you?
I very much am.
All right. This is your spoiler section. First off, The Dead Don't Die is a 2018 horror comedy. I don't know who directed it, but it stars Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Chloe Savini, like a laundry list of great actors. Yeah. Tilda Swinton's in it. Selena Gomez is in it.
Yeah, I remember seeing the cast list and being like, because when I saw the trailer for it, I was like, oh, this, I'm kind of over zombies at this point, but
this could, yeah.
Like, but I like Adam Driver and Bill Murray, yeah. Like those two
Iggy Pop's in that, it.
Oh, I can't remember what it's called. He's yelling at his phone right now. But it's, I saw a trailer for a movie that I think it's an Amazon movie. So I'll never watch it, but it's Adam Driver and it's about like the interrogation, the torture that was happening in Guantanamo Bay. And it's Adam Driver. It's John Hamm. I'm going to look up the name of it real quick.
He's a great actor, but yeah, I love Adam
Driver. And it's like this new like low level employees like uncovering the report is what it's called. It's a series?
If it's on Amazon, yeah, that maybe makes it's sense. A series. They do a lot of
stuff. I don't know. It looks really, really good. And I was like, oh, I might see a movie in theaters that's not a Marvel movie. Amazon. Like, son of a bitch.
Just subscribe. To like everything else.
I got $100.
All right, so before we get to the spoilers, I want to mention, I think we mentioned at the beginning of the show, I really wanted to see this movie last year, but it was not available in Marcus Theaters, and that's all we have around here. Mm-hmm. So I never got to watch it. I saw it at Best Buy a couple of days ago, and I was like, oh, that's out. I really wanted to watch that. Let's watch it. So for our anniversary, we watched The Dead Don't Die, and here's where the spoilers start. It's a good movie. I do recommend watching it, and I wish I could tell you why I'm pissed off. Watch the movie first, then go back and listen to this or message me. Mm-hmm. So
from this point on, you have been warned.
You've been warned. If you don't care about spoilers, stick with us. If you don't want to know, leave. So it's kind of a statement movie where the reason that the zombies have come back is because of fracking.
And the zombies like were a thing and now they're back, or that's just the thing that raised the zombies.
Yeah, okay. Fracking has a point they made in the movie over and over again was that it was staying light later and it was getting dark, staying dark later and stuff like that. And it's because the fracking had moved the Earth off its axis a little bit and it was spinning differently, and somehow that brought the dead back to life. And going into this movie, I was really worried that they were going to pull some bullshit where they weren't zombies, because just seeing Bill Murray in the movie made me go, something's going to be weird. I knew something was going to be weird about this movie. And I didn't realize what it was going to be, because as the movie started, it's a legitimate horror film. It's a legitimate zombie movie. There's zombies kill these people. It's super gory. And I was like, this could be really cool. This might not be the weird indie thing that I thought it was going to be. And they have a song at the beginning by a singer named, I think his name's Sturgis Simpson, and it's called The Dead Don't Die. It's the theme song for the movie. So it plays at the very beginning. This is the first time, and it's only like 20 minutes in when this happens. And I let it go. I let it go because I was like, okay, oh, that made me cringe. And I'll tell you what it was. They play the theme song, and this song is in the movie over and over again. Everyone loves this song. They're like, oh, Sturgis Simpson, I love that song, The Dead Don't Die.
Oh, so the movie recognizes
that this is a song.
That is a song in real life. Okay. It's not just playing in the background.
Right. Which is cute, right?
Okay.
But then Adam Driver and Bill Murray are riding in the cop car. The song comes on. And Bill Murray goes, I know this song. What is that? And Adam Driver, oh, that's Sturgis Simpson, The Dead Don't Die. I love this song. And he goes, yeah, but it's so familiar. Why? And Adam Driver goes, oh, because it's the theme song. And I went, what did he just say? What theme song? I'll let it go. Maybe he meant like the theme song of his life. I don't know.
Theme song of his favorite show.
Yeah.
Like The Walking Dead. That's the alternate dimension. That's the opening song for The Walking Dead.
So then they do the whole movie, and it's a good zombie movie. It's a legitimately good zombie movie, where my only complaint was that it felt like they wasted so many of the actors. Like Carol Kane is in it. Literally, she's a corpse. She wakes up. She asks for Chardonnay, and they kill her. That's her entire part. Selena Gomez is in it, along with two other people as they're hipsters that ride into town and kind of get quarantined in their hotel because of this outbreak of whatever. And one funny moment of this I just have to mention is, and she's going to hate that I mentioned this, but Selena Gomez is wearing these really kind of small shorts, and she walks away from the camera, and I looked at Allie and I was like, are you looking at Selena Gomez's ass too? And she goes, yes. And we talked about how nice Selena Gomez looked, and I thought that was very funny. Anyway, so they're in it. They go to their hotel room, and then the next time you see them, they're dead, killed by the zombies. What a waste! Everyone is wasted. Mm-hmm. Like they just put all these Iggy Papas in it briefly mm-hmm. to kill people, and then he's
just basically in little cameo roles.
Yeah, it's like 90% of the movie is cameo roles. Danny Glover's in it. In sort of a cameo. Steve Buscemi's mm-hmm. in it as a Donald Trump-style farmer. He wears a hat that says, Make America White Again, which is kind of funny.
A little on the nose.
Yeah, and there's a part where they try to give him more coffee, and he's sitting there with Danny Glover, and he's not racist. Mm-hmm. He's talking to Danny Glover like they're friends, and they ask him if he wants more coffee. He's like, no, I can't. Stuff is too black for me. And Danny Glover kind of gives him a look, and he goes like, I just meant it was too strong. So that's comedy. Mm-hmm. That's a comedic joke that's got racist overtones. The movie happens, it goes on, and everything's fine. Like I said, I legitimately like this film. And then it happened. And
Pennywise?
I might as well have been. So the ending, this is the huge spoilers. Mm-hmm. The ending is Chloe Savini's character, they're all three cops, and she can't handle it anymore. And she's in a legitimate, kind of felt bad for her. She sees her dead grandma, and she's, I can't take this anymore. I can't believe this is happening. She gets out of the car, and she gets killed, mm-hmm. which is sad. You care about the characters. I love Bill Murray and Adam Driver as the cops. So then they're in a cemetery. Zombies are surrounding their car. They're banging on it. And one thing that Adam Driver says throughout the movie is he keeps saying, this is going to end badly. I know this is going to end badly, which is supposed to be like a joke on the, I have a bad feeling about this from Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Adam Driver even has a Death Star Destroyer on his keychain, which is kind of funny.
That's neat.
So Bill Murray, he's getting irritated because he knows everything's bad. And he's like, oh, you've been saying this entire time. How did you know things were going to end so badly? And Adam Driver goes, do you really want to know? He's like, yes, I really want to know. I read the script. And Bill Murray says, what do you mean you read the script? The whole script? Yeah. He gave you the whole script? Yeah. He only gave me our scenes together. And I thought, what the fuck? And they mentioned the director by name. Mm-hmm. And I thought, are you fucking kidding me? I don't fucking care about this movie anymore. You just told me this is a film. Mm-hmm. You've completely taken me out of the movie. I no longer cares what happens to them. I no longer fucking care. And I couldn't believe how irrationally angry I was getting at this. But in the middle of this movie, in the most tense moment, for no reason at all, no reason at all, you have them break the fourth wall and talk about the script that they got. And it goes on from there. Tilda Swinton's character, who's supposed to be super weird the entire movie, and she's like a fucking samurai, and she's killing zombies with it, and she's really awkward, and you wonder what's going on with her. There's something more that she's not telling us. She drives into the cemetery, walks out in the middle of the zombies, a UFO shows up and sucks her back up into it and flies away for no reason at all. And Bill Murray looks at Adam Driver and says, was that in the script? And Adam Driver says, not in the version he gave me. And then Bill Murray says, what do we do now? Well, the script says we get out and we fight the zombies, even though we know we're not going to win. All right, well, let's do that. And then they do. They get out and they fight zombies until they both get taken down or killed. And the movie, the only people that survive the film are the ones that aren't commercial and don't care about. It's a long story. But the point of it is, I cannot believe that in this movie where you're supposed to care about the characters, they just flat out said, this is a script. This is a film. Who gives a shit? I can't believe it. I was so pissed off. Am I rational? Am I wrong for being this angry about it?
All I can think about is Jim Cornette. I swear to God, that's all I can think about.
Oh, that makes me feel bad.
Is it's just no, because again, it ties into wrestling. Is just like that, because that's one of his complaints. Is when you're watching wrestling, you don't want the people to come out there and be like, no, this isn't real. And that honestly kind of gave me a better appreciation for his argument.
Really?
A little bit. He still
not the racist piece of shit. But.
He still says the worst. He says it in the worst possible, most insulting way that he just absolutely shouldn't. But no, I don't think you. I don't think you're in the wrong for being upset at this, because that's not how the movie was marketed.
Right.
That is just kind of a dumb twist for the sake of being cute.
Because there were legitimate moments in there that were sad. There were mm-hmm. scary moments. It was a legitimate horror film. Mm-hmm. And then for no reason at all, with no payoff, they just break the fourth wall and tell you this is a film. We got the script. We know we're going to die, so let's go die.
So I honestly expected it to end with him yelling cut and walking off. And then it tracks back and you see him walking off the set and the zombies just stop. I'm like,
everybody,
we were supposed to get him, though.
Take five, stuff like that.
He's like, no, I don't want my character to die. That's where I thought it was going to end up going.
No,
Bill Murray doing that.
So there's a character throughout the movie played by Tom Waits named Hermit Bob, mm-hmm. who is... He lives out in the woods and he doesn't care about commercialism. He's the only one that survives because he's the joke with the zombies that they're all attached to what they were attached to in life. Mm-hmm. So you have some zombies walking around with their phones, and some of them are saying like Siri, trying to get connection. Mm-hmm. Kids zombies are in there trying to get candy in a candy store, and they were just beating candy and stuff like that. And everyone dies except Hermit Bob, because he just lives out in the woods. He doesn't own anything. Mm-hmm. So he's the narrator, kind of, that he gives the life lessons as he's seeing what's going on. And he watches Bill Murray and Adam Driver die, and he mentions how tough they were fighting to the end. But in the end, everyone dies. Life sucks, et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine. But I can't understand what the thinking process was to put this fourth wall breaking in a serious zombie movie. Because it was a comedy, but it wasn't a parody.
It was a black comedy.
It was a black comedy. It wasn't a parody film. It's not like this was I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, or Scream, or mm-hmm. What was the Scream movie? A Scary Movie or anything like that. Mm-hmm. This was a legitimate horror film. And they just put that in for no reason at all, and it completely ruined the movie for me. Mm-hmm. I sat there after the film. I was looking up, and I'm like, did I really hear that? And yeah, once I looked it up, all these people complaining about it. Mm-hmm. Broke the fourth wall and didn't have to. I mean, it's not fucking Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, it's not expected of these characters.
That took a much different turn from the pre-show. Of when you said, like, when you were offended. I was thinking, like, the content, like, they did something super, like, heinous.
To me, they did.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's fair. No, I mean, like, they showed, like, a really gruesome, like...
Like, they ripped a baby apart
Something, like, or, like, Cannibal Holocaust style, like...
Well, see, I knew they couldn't do anything like that. Mm-hmm. If you see an animal get hurt in a movie now, it's clearly not a real animal. Right. You know? Whereas Cannibal Holocaust, they did kill animals.
Yeah, and like those or a Serbian film where they are, you
know... It was
know,
a super it's just, offensive it, graphic.
Yeah, just yeah. for the sake of it.
No, see, if I saw something like that, I would just hate it. Mm-hmm. I would just... Because I refuse to watch a Serbian film for that reason. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not horror. But I get why people would enjoy it, because it is...
I don't.
It is... Well, it's a...
I read what happens in that movie, and it's just like, why would you even want to see fake that?
Oh no, it's super gross and disgusting. Don't get me wrong. Like, I agree that mm-hmm. like I don't, it's not for me. But in the same way that like deathmatch wrestling isn't for me, but I could see, okay, some people like their horror to be really boundary pushing and gruesome, and even if I don't agree with it, mm-hmm. it's still a film, I guess. And I'm trying to think of how I can say this without going back on what I said about Shane Gillis earlier about creative merit. But I would have just said, like, it wasn't for me. If they would have had something super gruesome in there, I would have just said, I didn't appreciate it. But mm-hmm. this is a whole new level of, like, middle finger to the audience of, we invested you in these characters, and now you know they're just
now
characters.
Now you feel stupid for
caring.
Right.
Like, I felt bad when Chloe Savini died. Mm-hmm. I really was attached to her character, because she was – Adam Driver and Bill Murray were just very deadpan through the entire movie. And even though they kind of cracked jokes a little bit. Bill Murray was really subdued and was a great role. But Chloe Savini was crying. She was reacting to it as a real person would. Mm-hmm. And then just like, oh, you were sad? She's just an actress. You don't have to worry about it. Like, I know she's an actress. I know this isn't real. But the point of this is that I'm investing myself in it because I want it to be real.
Right.
And yeah, when you hear it like that, Jim Cornette does kind of make a little sense with wrestling. But however, wrestling is marketed that way in the ones that he's upset about.
Right.
It's like Dalton said, you don't watch a Joey Janela pay-per-view not expecting a Joey Janela pay-per-view.
Right.
Now imagine if you watched a like WWE pay-per-view.
If tomorrow Ring of Honor. If tomorrow night's NXT first live episode
they're wrestling invisible people and stuff, you would go, what the hell is this?
Right.
That's what it was to me. It was just a punch in the gut, and like, I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it, and I can't recommend that movie really because mm-hmm. of that. I want to tell people what happens so they don't get invested like I did and then go,
and then
oh,
have
fuck
the rug
me.
Yanked out from underneath them.
Yeah. So that's The Dead Don't Die. Mm-hmm. A great zombie movie with the most baffling choice I think I've ever seen in a movie. Mm-hmm. Just baffling. That's all I got.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a bummer.
We still have 7 minutes.
So. That's a bummer. I'm trying to think of a version of that where it was
I should have known with Bill Murray. I should have known. Never trust him again after what he did to Ghostbusters. I never learned.
What was the thing from a couple... You said Ghostbusters. Like, what was the thing a couple weeks ago that, like, again, Ernie Hudson just getting totally screwed over on something Ghostbusters related?
Recently or back in the day?
No, like recently.
Oh, recently? I don't know. I know that he didn't get...
Because I sent it to...
He didn't get his own character part in the TV show.
Yeah, I sent something to you and Hunter in the group chat. Because it was something on Twitter, like there was another collector's edition, or there was some piece of merchandise.
Oh, and he wasn't on it?
And he was totally snubbed on it.
Yeah.
and I can't remember.
At least he's going to be in the new movie, as it's confirmed 20 hours ago. Also, Dan Aykroyd confirmed he's in it. So I'm pretty sure all
Dan
of
Aykroyd
the...
confirmed that Dan Aykroyd is in
yes.
it? Okay.
So from what I understand, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, Sigourney Weaver, and Bill Murray are all kind of guaranteed to be in it. How big their parts are, I don't know, but I hope they play a major role in it, because, I mean, it's Ghostbusters, and they're the Ghostbusters.
Okay, this is, I found
they
it.
They are the Ghostbusters.
I found it because I put it on Twitter. It was, here's the official description for the Ghostbusters 35th anniversary screening at Fathom Events. When ghosts go on a rampage, only three men can save the world. It's Ghostbusters, starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis, as a maniacal band of parapsychologists specializing in psychic phenomena and supernatural hilarity, and they are back on the big screen for a special 35th anniversary event. Fired from the university research job, Doctors Venkman, Stance, and Spangler set up shop as Ghostbusters, ridding Manhattan of bizarre apparitions. But even the spirit exterminators are severely tested when beautiful Dana Barrett and her neighbor, who they don't name, just say Rick Moranis, become possessed by demons living in their building. Soon, every spook in the city is loose, and our heroes face their supreme challenge of a rooftop demonic shrine. If you want your spirits raised, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. This event features an introduction with newly unearthed and rarely seen alternate takes. So,
see,
yeah.
Shane Gillis, straight. I had an opportunity right there to make an offensive joke, and I didn't do it, for the record.
So, yeah, straight up saying only three men can save the world. Like, I'm sorry.
What did
we
Ernie Hudson do?
Right. Like, is this some weird Mandela effect?
Where he wasn't actually even
that,
in the film?
Yeah, there was no Ernie Hudson. Yeah. There wasn't a man just trying to put his, like, trying to provide for his family, so he applied for this job that he did not believe in.
Do you know, originally, that role was for Eddie Murphy.
Yep.
And he passed on it, and they severely shrunk it down and made it more about the other Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. I guess the point of that is that maybe because Ernie Hudson didn't start as a Ghostbuster, it was just the three, and then halfway through the movie, he kind of joined almost as an afterthought.
I'm sorry, who was up there on the roof?
He was there.
Were there three on the roof?
He did have my favorite line of the movie, tell him about the Twinkie.
Tell him about the Twinkie.
And then the, I love this town, you know? Mm-hmm. Ernie Hudson, you can't do Ghostbusters without Ernie Hudson.
Apparently you can.
If they did a Ghostbusters 2 synopsis and they didn't include him, then I'd be more upset because he was a bigger part in that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's always gotten the shaft on that. He wasn't on the original posters.
Yeah. He's not on any of the marketing stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and, like, it's Ernie Hudson. It's freaking Ernie Hudson. Ernie Hudson's awesome.
And yeah, the story of the him auditioning for the animated series.
And losing it.
And yeah, and...
I believe it was Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Audra and I watched a couple of the episodes, because it's like, okay, why is Bill Murray Garfield?
Why? That's exactly what Bill Murray asked when he got Lorenzo Music fired from Ghostbusters. Why do I sound like Garfield? That's the rumor. Been proven.
Which is funny, considering...
He went on to play Garfield after Lorenzo Music passed away, and mm-hmm. I hope his ghost haunts him every single day of his life.
I just realized one of my favorite snacks after school in grade school was Garfield ravioli.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It was like Chef Boyardee style, like yep. ravioli cans, but it was Garfield branded.
Yeah. And I only ate them because of Garfield.
Yeah.
Because it was during that time where they had that amazing cartoon, mm-hmm. which...
With Odie and Nermal and John.
And the farm.
Yeah.
What was it called? U.S. Acres, I think.
Yeah.
Worse than the Pig. And
I completely forgot about that part of it, though.
Yeah, that was another really good show. Sheldon. I forget all of their names except Orson and the Pig.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay would kill me right now if she could. But yeah. God, that was back in the time when I used to think that Chef Boyardee was good. I used to love some Chef Boyardee.
I still, every once in a while, like if I go grocery shopping, I'll grab a couple cans.
Of what, though?
The extra stuffed ravioli.
Okay, so it's still the ravioli?
Yeah.
You don't do like the spaghetti or anything like that?
No.
Because I used to do the spaghetti and meatballs. Mm-hmm. I love the spaghetti and meatballs. But that was until my mom like made spaghetti and meatballs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what food tastes like.
Yeah, this is...
this is just not in a can processed food. Okay.
Right.
Neat.
I had the giant fat packs of the Garfield comics. Mm-hmm. Like anytime we did the book fairs, I would find like either that or Calvin and Hobbes. I loved reading those comics. Like
I loved Garfield too. I didn't ever get into Calvin and Hobbes. It was always Garfield. Or do you remember The Far Side?
I was just getting ready to bring that up.
Were you?
Because he's back.
What?
Yeah. Gary Larson is coming out of retirement.
That's awesome.
Let me... Because
I used to love me some Far Side books. I had all of them.
Let me see.
That and The Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark were my books at the book fair. I'll never forget buying those. God, I forgot what it was like to get excited about the book fair. Oh my God. You walk in there with your money and people were excited about books.
Yeah.
Holy
just
shit. Look,
just looking at, you know, different stuff.
I haven't felt that kind of excitement in forever. Like, even video games. When I walk into a video game store, I don't understand kids that come in here and they're just so excited and their eyes are sparkling. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, it's just a video game. Pick one. Just do something.
Let's see. Everyone in the U.S. who read the newspaper, blah, 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 from 1980 to 95. Wow. Because I had the individual day calendars. Mm-hmm. And each one was a different Far Side comic. I had that for 2 years running. I would never update it, so I'd go through six at a time because I would always forget. But yeah, he teased a... I can't find the actual... if there was an actual announcement. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I can't find the actual announcement, but he posted a new image. Is Uncommon, another... Unreal, and soon to be Unfrozen, a new online era of the Far Side is coming.
That's...
is what was posted, and it was... someone in the Arctic setting burning out, melting an iceberg, mm-hmm. and a cow is in there.
I wonder if I went back and read the Far Side stuff now as an adult, would I find it as funny? Because I loved it as a kid.
Yes, I will.
Oh, it's still funny?
Because every once in a while I'll go through and...
I still have one or two of the books somewhere. I just didn't want it to be a situation like Jesse Kimball had with that little book he had of the most offensive jokes in the world or whatever, mm-hmm. that he thought was funny when he was a kid. And we all look through now as adults and we're just like, ugh. I still recited a bunch of them, but I knew they weren't funny.
Yeah.
I just did it for the shock value.
Looking forward to the return of Far Side and Larson trying to make sense of a world that he sarcastically predicted.
Maybe we should have a new show called Shock Value.
No.
No.
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this show. We're all done.
Gary, now that the Far Side is coming back, it's a good time to remember that Gary Larson actually predicted Twitter, and it's a guy looking out the window to a big crowd of angry people that have signs like, "Down with Wayne, Wayne must go, no more Wayne." And the caption is, "The world was going down the tubes. They needed a scapegoat. They found Wayne."
And Shane Gillis is our Wayne right now. They won't let him say anything. They're censoring.
Yeah, he doesn't have a platform.
Where's his freedom of speech? All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We got a lot to talk about, including Clash of Champions happened on Sunday. We're going to talk about the big cast situation. We got a lot to say. That'll be tomorrow with myself, Asa Ali, and Dalton, of course. Until then, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the show. We always appreciate it. You have no idea how much it means to us that after 4 years, our audience keeps growing. And that's thanks to you guys sharing this, telling your friends about us, and just enjoying the stuff that we deliver.
Give us money!
Or you can give us money at patreon.com/podzilla1985. That's good, too.
Money, please.
Because we broke as hell. How am I supposed to keep watching movies like The Dead Don't Die? I ain't got Amazon money. Asa doesn't have Amazon money.
Yeah, no, I don't.
He can't even watch a show.
Yeah, I can't watch The Report.
I paid $6 to rent that movie. $6.
And you're never getting that back.
No. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Until then, have a good night. Take care of each other and all that jazz. Later.